Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, hello. Here we are. Oh, wait.
Let me move my...
Okay. I had you muted. I clicked it, but it didn't click. Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay.
And you can hear me, so this is a good thing.
Yeah, we're all set.
Yeah, and if we really get confused, we can run 30 seconds down the path and we'll be in the same room.
Easy.
So here we are. And for those of you that don't know, this is my neighbor in our little spiritual community up here in the Dominican Republic, in our little slice of heaven. Tahira Matt. And is that the name you...
It's Mott or Maya, but it's okay.
Okay. before we get started, I think it's a good idea to let you explain a little bit about who you are and what you do, because, you know, I understand most of it, but it's from my perspective. So I'd love to give the watchers and the listeners your perspective on what you do. Who knows better than you?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. And hello, everyone. So in a nutshell, I'm a medicine woman and a clinically trained therapist. And what I do is I teach spiritual sovereignty. I help people to come back home to who they are and live in their truth proudly, loudly, and peacefully, all in the name of love, all in the name of loving yourself. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much who I am and what I do. And I enjoy life to the fullest. Glenn knows that. I bust jokes. I don't take it so serious. Me and Glenn, we bust jokes all the time. And living a peaceful, but yet very mystical life up in the mountains in the Dominican. And I've been here for almost 2 years now. So it's my home.
Yeah. And it's, this is where we were sitting around earlier, just kind of tossing a couple ideas around. And sometimes I keep little notes, and I had this email that I took from my friend Pat's her newsletter, and okay. As soon as I started reading this, and I'm sure we'll go off on our own version, but it's a unknown quote. It says, "As you are shifting, you will begin to realize that you are not the same person you used to be. The things that you used to tolerate have become intolerable. When once you remained quiet, you are now speaking your truth. When once you battled and argued, you are now choosing to remain silent. You are beginning to understand the value of your voice, and there are some situations that no longer deserve your time, energy, and focus." So I started reading that, going through some ideas, and I was like, ooh, that kind of resonates. And I threw it by you, and we were like, yeah, that, we can talk about that, which was perfect with your explanation of who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
Because it really is about sovereignty. And that is how I have seen you live your own life, through that sovereignty. And, I'm going to start having more people on, and I'd like to really tap into what one of the many things they have to offer, and that's certainly something you have to offer. You've done a lot of work to get yourself to this place. So I wanted to dive into that and see, and be like, okay, you know, what's this sovereignty thing all about? You know, yeah. how are we supposed to, you know, and I have my own version of these answers, but how are we supposed to dive into living a sovereign life that's filled with joy, peace, love, happiness, contentment with all the noise that's going on in the world?
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Because it's noisy as all hell.
Yeah.
So
getting noisier. You know, as
yeah, it's getting noisier. And I think that this is such an important topic right now because it's so noisy out there. And when you throw out spiritual lessons to people and say, hey, you know, you really, happiness comes from the inside. You need to live from the inside out instead of waiting for the outside to look the way you want it to find the happiness within. You know, and those are the types of things that I teach. And in a day-to-day life, I don't think all people have a really good example of what that looks like, what that sounds like, and how to live it in their life. So yeah. I was hoping we could dive into that with you.
Yeah. Well, I, like you just touched on, happiness comes from within versus out. And we were just taught completely opposite, especially more so in the Western side of things. We were just taught differently. And so one of the first things you learn when you're coming back, I would say when you live from the heart, is to realize that you are unique in that. So nobody sounds like you. Nobody has the same vibration as you. Nobody has the same thoughts, you know, maybe have relatable thoughts. But when you come back into the original self of who you are, the uniqueness kicks in, and that is the gift. And so what happens is you start to honor that by expressing that. So therefore, this is where you see people look at you like, what you say? Because now you're back into what is called common sense. You're thinking for yourself. You're doing a little bit more critical thinking. You start to allow yourself to have ideas outside of what I like to call the matrix consciousness, which is how while everybody else is functioning and getting louder, you're like taking a step back and saying, you know what? I don't have to get loud with them. I can actually take a step back and maybe do something different, maybe think differently. And that creates such an initiation into sovereignty because people are so used to being told what to do. And you're the person that's like, no, I am not going to do that. You have more no's than yeses. Like, and you may not know the full spectrum of the why, but the no, which is coming from the knowingness of self, is a resonance that kicks in that you can't deny. And the more you peel back those layers of conditioning and programming, the stronger that comes in. So you just, and now you're embodying what we call your supreme self. Some people, they call it, you know, God consciousness, Buddha consciousness, Jesus consciousness, whoever, but you come into your supreme consciousness. You come into the higher self. And so you're no longer living from ego, because ego is driven by the matrix. You're now living in spirit. So your spirit is 1,000%, I mean, functioning at its most highest level. So of course you're going to think differently. You're going to act differently. Things in your life is going to change. People in your life is going to change. Relationships are going to change. The things that you thought you liked, well, that is my higher self. Well, how about living from your higher self? What would that sovereignty is? So it looks different for everybody, especially since we're all functioning from the uniqueness of self.
Yeah, and And I got most of that. The internet's breaking up a little bit. I don't know how it's coming out on the stream. Hopefully it's just riding through, but but we'll we'll ride with it. So and
I'll log off.
Okay. Yeah, and it's, you know, it does look different for everybody. And I think it's, you know, a lot of it is having that courage to stand in it. You know, it's when we're breaking away from, you know, society's ways of being are so embedded in us, and we're so, and I'm even people that are consider themselves rebels or and that type, we've been conditioned so much by society to kind of just be a certain way, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we start breaking away from that, it's like, should I break away from this? Am I supposed to break away from this? This is, yeah, right. But everybody else has been doing this. Yeah. Am I going? And it's like the, you know, you mentioned common sense and, like the common sense is what we oftentimes what we refer to as common sense is a common way of doing things, you know? And it's like, once you start really questioning everything and looking at it and living from your authentic self, you start stumbling on what I often say is one of my favorite parts about spirituality is that it holds water. Like the way society lives literally doesn't make sense. It, like, if you just take a step back and look at it, you know, and like, if you just look at it and you go, okay, what does society teach about being happy? Well, it says that if you go to school, get good grades, get a college education, you know, get married, buy a house, have a dog named Spot, then you're good. And it's like,
exactly.
And like, many people have done that, and I don't know any of them that would say that's what made me happy. Some of them are happy and some of them aren't, but I don't think that is what made anybody happy, you know, because it's all external, so it can't. Exactly. But so when you really look at it and pick it apart, it's like, oh my God, the formula I've been taught doesn't work. And many, 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 many things are like that. So when you start looking, when, you know, it's not common sense as opposed to, like, I can tell when I'm stepping into common sense, when I'm stepping away from what most people would do.
Right.
Exactly. Because most people would behave in a way that was unconsciously taught to them by society, which I still do in certain situations too. Yeah. So when I'm stepping away from that, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm probably using my own brain and my own authenticity because it's not matching up with what everybody else is doing, which is society.
Yes, yes. And when you do that, there is a higher sense of, I would say, calm and love for self that you feel within when you make decisions based upon common sense. And you realize that once you do, there's this sense of relief that it's like, yes, that's where you need to be at. That's where it's about.
Common inner sense, right? That's something you always say, inner standing instead of understanding.
Common inner sense. There's an inner standing. There's a resonance that churns inside of you and you feel like full and whole in that. So in that experiment, in that actual situation. So there's no questioning. And I always tell people, it's not right or wrong. Like, this is not about being perfect. The whole point of sovereignty is understanding ourselves as also what is alchemy, which is alchemist, which means that we are our own mathematicians, like you said, like that formula that the Matrix feeds you. It is a formula because they're using ancient education and ancient technology to program us. So when you come back to sovereignty, you come back to common sense, you realize, oh shit, like I can actually think for myself. I can actually figure out what I want to do with my life. Does it involve me going to school and, like you said, you know, getting a dog named Spot and getting that, you know, house with the picket fence? Nah, there's something else that I'm formulating, something within. And you'll know that when you go through your own individual experiences as to what that is. That is being an alchemist, which means that you're going to make mistakes along the way. But if you understand like yourself as a scientist, as a person who can formulate and create their life, then you're okay with the mistakes. And you're like, okay, I made that mistake. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to do it differently. So there's
right,
no,
you can
so
own
there's
it.
No guilt. Yeah, you can own it. There's no guilt. And, you know, the system plays a lot in guilt and shame. Spirit is not concerned about guilt or shame at all. Spirit is all about love and forward movement. And so you have to make mistakes and learn in order to come into your own wisdom.
Right. And it's, you know, like when we say that you're going to make mistakes and it's okay, it's, you know, if when at first, I think if you don't dive deep enough into that, people will be like, oh, well, that's scary. It's like, yeah, but look at what you're doing now. You're making mistakes anyway. Like, you know, so like both sides include making mistakes. Right. So, but one series of mistakes you have no hope of ever figuring out and doing right because it's not you. And, you know, and it's dysfunctional and doesn't hold water and doesn't work. Whereas the other side is you. And yeah, you'll still make mistakes, but you're not going to have the guilt and the shame attached to them, which I think, you know, which is a part of one of the most important things, I think, is that calmness that you mentioned. You know, when you find this pocket within yourself, calmness is one of the best ways to recognize it as that's what I'm looking for. That's what it is. It's that knowingness, that calmness, that peace within you that, and you know, everything can look different around you.
Yeah.
But inside you're like, you know, you can be going against, you know, like, let's say maybe one of society's standards and even getting some backlash from some of your friends or family or something. And there's a part of you when you start leaning into this work that goes, I think I'm supposed to be upset because,
yeah.
because I'm kind of, you know, everybody's telling me I should be upset and this is wrong and all that stuff. But if I go really inside, I'm not feeling that. I'm feeling like this is right and I'm calm about it and it's okay.
Right. Right.
And if we understand that is something to look for, and that's a gigantic clue that you are heading in the right direction, then
exactly.
People can look for it more often because a lot of times they won't even recognize it. They'll be like, you know, I'll talk with people that are on this path and they'll be like, yeah, so, you know, I broke away from this and it was kind of weird and I thought I should, but then I didn't. And then I went and I did this and it worked out really good and it was awesome. And it's like, okay, slow down. How did you feel in the middle of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well, now that you ask, I guess I kind of felt calm. Yes.
Right. Yes.
That's something that makes it duplicatable. That's something that, you know, so it's like, so once you know what it looks and feels like when you're striking gold, let's say, you know, your authentic gold, once you know what it looks like and what it feels like, then you can look for that. And it really, I think it cuts back on a second guessing a lot.
Oh yeah.
You know, absolutely. Because it's so much more powerful than your mind.
It's so much.
You know?
And it's coming from like, you know, it comes from that intuition that people talk about. It's an intuitive resonance. And it's like, if you feel it energetically, you feel it in your chakras. If you know what chakras are, you feel it even in your bones. Some people say, I feel this in my bones. You hear people talk like that. So why not listen to that? You know, why not just listen to that? And like we get conditioned and taught that we can't get to this state of peace within, and that we got to go to the mountaintop and sit on a rock for 10 years in order to find some type of enlightenment. And I'm like, no, like,
living, no, that's where you end up after the enlightenment.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you end up after eating mangoes and jumping off of waterfalls and stuff. But
right.
But to get there, you have to learn to be mindful. And this is all about, you know, being mindful, mindfulness, being present with what's going on, slowing down, like you said, actually slowing down and being present as to what is happening in that experience. Like I always call experience experiments of life, because they're just there to teach you something about yourself. And what's going on within that experiment that needs to be, you know, a little bit, remodified, a little bit refined, no matter if it's emotions, no matter if it's an action. And then you take that and you apply the lesson. And then so when you apply the lesson, you move forward. And so what happens is you stop making those mistakes and you turn them into more of a alchemy, which is perfection. But it's not, again, perfection is not this do everything right. I got to do everything this way. No, it's about really just honoring your own authenticity. And that looks so different for everybody. But like you said, like staying strong in that, even as like you see the world, we'll say, falling apart. But that's a good sign, because that shows that you are changing within. So as you're seeing the world fall apart, it's consciously, there is a dismantlement happening on a subconscious astral level, as I like to say. And it's like that world you're no longer attached to, you're no longer identifying with. So it is going to fall apart. So you're going to see different things happen, change. But as long as you stay firm in that, when the foundation reveals itself, you're like, oh, okay. I needed to see that. I needed to go through that in order to see really what the end of the rainbow looks like. So I can build from here.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's that ego trick, you know. It's like when your life starts falling apart or certain aspects of it, we want to hold it together instinctively, but it's just an ego attachment. It's that's short-term thinking. It's like, you know, take a step back and get back to the long-term thinking. And, you know, what are you trying to accomplish here? You're trying to live in a state of peace and happiness.
Right,
and
right.
Like, well, was your old life like that? No, that's why you started this freaking journey in the first place.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's going to be some aspects of it that are going to fall away. And if, you know, and with good reason, and you can either build something back stronger or just completely transcend that aspect sometimes with the longer thinking.
Yes.
You know, it's absolutely. if we're overly focused on the transitory, the things that change, you know, that's when we know it's ego, is because it's temporary, it's changing. And the ego is concerned with that. Our eternal self isn't concerned with that. Our eternal self is like, yeah, whatever. Like everything changes.
It's supposed to change. Know? It's supposed
to grow. Yeah, it's like that. I saw that little meme of a caterpillar having lunch with a butterfly. And they're both sitting at a table, and one of them, the butterfly, the caterpillar looks at the butterfly and goes, "You've changed." And the butterfly goes, "Yeah, we're supposed to."
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. I mean, if I woke up on my deathbed the way I was behaving when I was 25, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, in our society, you know, they, again, that whole conditioning around change itself and how hard change is. I mean, even the words that they use, it creates more of a inner conflict with the idea of change. And so people stay stuck. People either want it exactly the way it is, or they want to go back. Like you hear some of the the elders talk about, man, I wish we could just go back to the old ways. And then you hear people say, well, why do we have to change anyway? Why can't we just keep it the same? And then, you're looking at the outcome of that, and you're like, why wouldn't you want to change?
Right.
And what is stopping you from changing? And I think you touched on it earlier in relationship to fear, just around what that may look like, because nobody really can't predict what that outcome would be for a unique being. But it's all about trusting that it will be much better than what you're experiencing in that moment.
Yeah, it's going to have positive results. I mean, if you're leaning into being more a better, more fuller version of yourself, that is always going to, you know, bring in more comfort, bring in more ease, more peace, more joy, because you're simply more of yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, and at the end of the day, it kind of gets easy. It gets much easier.
It gets a lot easier. The flow, the ebb, you learn how to balance in the ebb and the flows of life. And so what you realize is that there's always, you're infinite. You know, I always say, I'm an infinite being, which means that, yes, this is a temporary situation. And so once I transition out of this, my soul will travel, you know, and will travel to another space at another time. So that means that I'm infinite. So in regards to that, you learn how to flow in the ebb and the flow of life. And I always say not take it so serious, because you realize that these experiences are here to teach you something. And I mean, this may go a little, you know, deeper, but it's like, we chose to be here. At least I say I chose to be here. I chose to be here living right now in this moment, in this time. That means I have all the right equipment inside self to navigate this. So what am I scared about? Absolutely nothing.
Right. And that's, and that's it. That's, I think that's one of, it might even be our biggest growing edge, is that, you know, we're all seeking a sense of safety. This is why an illusion of control and stability people yearn for and crave so much, and actually believe in illusions of control that aren't even there. You know, it's like just a little while ago, I was talking with somebody, and I mean, it's just such a good example. I've used this example similarly, but they took it one step further. Like, everybody talks about having a stable job, and I'm always like, there is no such thing as a stable job. But then this person said that they used to have a stable job. And I was like, well, how then apparently it wasn't stable. Like, how could you used to have something that's stable?
And right, exactly.
If there was such a thing as stable and you had it, then you'd still have it. Just by that statement proves that there's no such. I think I need to get back to what I lost, because that was stable. Then you wouldn't have lost it if it was stable. That's the definition of stability, you know. Right, so like, exactly. Right. So it's like, this is, we latch onto these things to try to give ourselves a sense of control. And like, which is like, an illusion.
Yes, and safety. It's like a false sense of safety.
Right.
When you are latched on with the illusion of control. Because,
and I think that's a gift of COVID. It's just
pulling the
rug out on a whole bunch of people that thought that they had a safe life. Exactly. And you don't. And it's not because you're being punished, it's because there's no such thing as safety in that way.
And yes. And it's like you said, safety, stability, and freedom. You know, those are the three that people are starting to see. Do we really have freedom? I mean,
not even close.
Right.
Not even close.
Do we really have stability? Are we really safe? You know, and that pulls out all types of levels of anxiety for someone who has been dependent upon that system, you know, that conscious system, to be the voice of freedom, to be the voice of stability, to be the voice of safety. So sovereignty is about, no, you are already free within yourself. You have the creative ability to have stability, and you make yourself feel safe. And that right there, that can scare the living hell out of somebody, because they're like, oh my God, like it's all me. Yes.
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. And it's two sides to that coin. You know, it's like sometimes that's scary and tough to swallow at first, because you're like, oh my God, I'm responsible for everything.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. And like, well, that's, well, then I can't blame anybody, or I can't I think I want to blame people. And, but then you go, yeah, but what do you get? You don't get stability if you can blame other people. If you swallow that pill and you get the other side of it along with it, and that is empowerment, you know, which is when you claim responsibility for everything, then you, what you get out of that is empowerment to design your own life.
Exactly.
You know, and that's like, what's more than that? And we can find the safety in the eternal realm, in the never, in the never changing reality, there is safety. Right. In the ever changing reality, there is no safety. So if we anchor into the eternal safety, and then we start interacting with life more like we're in a movie theater.
Yes.
You know, so
be in a stage, literally. And which character do you want to play?
which character is authentic to you?
Yes, yes.
You know, how can you embody yourself in this play more? Mm-hmm. You know, and the more you align with that, the more joyful it is.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I think that like this is why there's so many people. You know, it's pretty obvious that people aren't discussing things, you know, as far as, you know, COVID and everything else that is drawing up the polarity. People are picking sides. They're not discussing things.
People are
picking
sides. People are
Why? For safety. For because safety. If they can say, this is right, this is the way things are, this is what I believe, it gives them a false sense of safety and something to latch onto. And but there is no safety here.
Right. And I would say it gives them a sense of community. So it's just like it's just like politics. Right. You pick a side and you pick a certain side. And within that certain side, you have other people who agree with you. So that's the community. And so even with the whole COVID thing, COVID and I call it the juice situation, there people are picking sides, and you have the spiritually quote unquote woke people picking a totally separate side from unity, you know? So it's like, how can we come together and unify, knowing that this whole narrative around this is to separate ourselves.
Right. And that's what we like, this is why I don't, you know, I said something recently. It kind of came through that, like, where none of this is going to save us. You know, like we're just being divided in so many different ways. And people think that, like, if everybody on that side comes over to this side, then we'll be okay. And that's like, never going to happen, because it's sides. Like, once we all join in love,
right?
If we just stop arguing and we go, you know what, I understand you see things differently. You have the right to, and we all should respect one another. If we can ever get to the place of respecting one another, then we might have the capability of actually solving any of these problems. But until that time comes, it's not, there's nothing, there's nothing that's been solved in the last 100 years.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when,
like, you know, when I got sober, like 18 years ago, I kind of had a very small interest in politics before I got sober, just because it was like, I used to like to debate and stuff like that. And that, so I could, that had a little juice to it. So I could argue, And I like to argue when I was drinking.
That's what debate. You know? If you literally look at the word debate, it literally has the word argue in the definition.
Right. So I used to love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
So when I get sober, I was like, hey, maybe I could do some good in this world. Maybe, you know, I looked at a lot of things with new eyes. So I started looking at a little bit of politics, and like I was like, oh my God. Like, this is literally the same argument that was taking place 15 years earlier, and oftentimes even with the same people. Like, the same congressmen arguing with each other over the same topic of the same thing that was happening. Like, they didn't solve anything, you know? And 18 years later, they still haven't solved anything.
And that's the game. The game, yeah. That's the game. The game is like, it's never going to get solved.
No, because like, it's distraction.
Exactly. It's just, it's ongoing. And so they're going to keep on coming out with something to separate, to divide and conquer. Separate, divide, and conquer. This has been going on since colonization. This is thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So it's like, to swallow that pill, you know, to swallow that and digest that. And then now it's saying, okay, but then who's responsible for me? That's when the journey begins right there.
Right. We recognize we are responsible for ourselves, and we start, you know, I think, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on and discuss this is because, you know, I've seen you walk through situations and just stand in your own authenticity, even when, you know, the world was chirping, you know, and you were just like, no, I'm just not participating in that reality. And it's like, and I don't think a lot of people really get an opportunity to see that much. Like what it, you know, it's sometimes it's good to, or maybe always, it's good to have an idea where you're going as you start going towards it. You know, like, you know, I tell people with relationships, it's like, well, you know, read a few books on what a healthy relationship is before you start trying to create one, you know, because most of society that this relationships you've been exposed to, they weren't healthy, you know? So most people don't even know what they're trying to create. So it's kind of the same thing. So, I mean, you know, what's your, do you have any like examples of how you've stood in your own authenticity and not gotten shaken by society or?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot,
but yeah,
because I tend to, you know how I speak and I talk, and
I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here because like, can you pick one out?
I mean, I to try to pick, because to me, it's every day is authentic. It's about, it's just me being me. So in terms of a certain specific example, I think one of the biggest ones I would say was last year. Well, 2020, somewhere around 2020, there was that whole second draft, as I like to call it, Black Lives Matter. And so I was just, you know, spiritually, I'm just like, why are people getting so caught up in this? You know, what is going on? And so I did a video just explaining my truth, expressing my truth, and literally just explaining like racism is a mental disease. That's exactly what I called it. And so that was going against like probably 90% of the crowd that was all about, no, let's take a stand. And this is for, you know, rights. And I'm like, you're not thinking beyond the anxiety and the anger, you know? So I go in on that. I go in and, you know, I'm like, and after I watched, I said, damn, how was that? Damn, okay, well, hey, whatever, put it out there. And what was beautiful was that was one of the videos that went like viral on my Instagram and like quick. And 90% of the feedback was like, thank you for saying that, because that is exactly what I think, but I'm afraid to say it because, you know, when you don't pick a side, now you're considered not doing anything.
Right.
I'm like, you know, and I'm all about, no, the neutrality is choosing self. That's the nature of self, is choosing neutrality and choosing love. So you're actually doing something much bigger and grander that one may not see, but trust and believe you're doing something. And so, you know, that was just one of those moments where I didn't realize, you know, that it would have such impact on others. But, you know, it was just me just expressing myself, me just being myself. Literally just saying, hey, I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, some people may agree with it, some people don't. But I'm not interested in being agreed on all the time. Like, that would be boring as hell to me. Like, like, let's have some different perspectives. So that way, like you said, we could come together as one and formulate, this is how tribes grew. This is how real indigenous communities grown, was to know that not everybody has the same gifts and not everybody's going to think the same. So let's all come together. But the first thing is that you must be together within self. You must have community inside self. Because when you say things like that and you say them so boldly and expressively, there will be, you know, those people that's going to try to come at you. So you just like, but I'm in my heart. Like, this is all love right here. I'm just being me. So the vibration and the frequency of love protects you. So those energies just kind of bounce off. They're just like, oh, whatever. Oh, whatever.
Right. And I think that's a good example of, well, I mean, the whole story is a good example for multiple reasons, but right at the end there, it is, it's like, that's what it's like when you stand in it, because, you know, it's when you fully open, it's not fully opening with the possibility of being hurt. It's fully opening, finding out that you can't be hurt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you're just standing there and then all of a sudden attacks are coming and you're like, oh, okay. You know, I see that you think that way.
Yeah.
What do we have in for lunch? I mean, it's just, it's inconsequential because they can't damage you. Their opinion can't hurt you. Nothing is bad or good. It just is. Whether it's an opportunity or whether it's a problem is directly proportional to how we choose to look at it. Yes. You know, so our individuality right now in society is a problem.
Oh yeah.
Because individuality is a problem. It's because we all think differently and we can't come together and it's dividing and it's being fed to do that. But that's what's happening. And it's not that our individuality is not actually a problem. That just is. It's just we're choosing to use it as a problem. If we choose to use our individuality as an opportunity to come together and to do more as a community than we can do separately, then we can alchemize. We can bring in multiple things to create something better than the original.
Exactly.
You know. And then all of a sudden our individuality serves us as opposed to dividing us.
Exactly. That's exactly how, that's exactly like the proper cosmic order. You know, even when you look out in nature, not every tree is the same. Not every leaf is the same. Not every little piece of grass is the same. But there is a cosmic order that is beyond words that keep everything together. You know, there's a cosmic order as to when we see the sunset and when we see the sunrise. There's this beautiful cosmic order that is non-chaotic.
Yeah, and we're over here trying to like figure out what we're like supposed to be doing in life and the way things are supposed to be. Like, man, life's been going on for billions of years without our help. There's a beautiful flow to it, you know, and if we just lean back and catch the wave, like, and go with it instead of trying to, you know, redesign it and figure it out, like, it's like, yeah, it just, it's very natural. It's not, we have a natural, I say everything that's innate
within us, there's a reason for it. That's why it's innately within us. And we have this innate desire to connect with others. Why? Yes. So we can form communities. And it's not just to perpetuate our species through sex.
Right.
It's more than that. It's an emotional connection. It's a, you know, it's more than that. And so the reason that we have that so innately within us, that desire for connection with others, is because we need to be living in community. If you know, if we're supposed to be individual islands, you know, then that movie Castaway wouldn't have ever, you know. Yeah, he's talking to a freaking volleyball, for Christ's sakes. You know, like, I mean, that's what happens to people when they're left alone inside their mind for too long. Yeah, you know, we're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to be leaning on one another. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah.
And you know that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying when you just, you know, life is simple. You know, that's my partner says that all the time. Like, human beings, we just complicate stuff too much. But life is simple. Like, nature is simple. If you just sit and watch it, how simple and how everything works together and how peaceful that looks, how it feels. Like, that's nature is a sheer reflection of our technology and our coding. And nature can be boisterous. Nature can set it off. But, you know, with the thunders and the earthquakes and all that. But it's a cleansing. It's a purification. It's not something to be afraid of. And because, and that's what we do. We have to cleanse ourselves. We have to purify ourselves. We have to repair ourselves. I just love nature so much because, like, it's constantly just reminding you, you're me and I'm you. Like, you know, and it's like, if you could just vibe with this, get rid of all that other shit, we cool.
Like, you don't have to struggle. There is no, you know, the sun isn't like coming up in the morning going, I got to get up in the sky. Like, but the moon's trying to push me back, and I have
The sun is
just rises,
right?
Yeah, it's like, and everything's like that. And what's interesting too is when we, you know, I think everybody can feel this on some level, no matter where you are. If you just disconnect for a moment from whatever's going on in your life and just sit in nature, you can feel it. You can just sit there. You can feel it, see it, perceive it, whatever. And you can just be like, oh, whew, okay. Like,
get your breath together.
Yeah. Like, God, that, you know, I don't, everything seems to be relaxed here.
What's my problem?
Yeah, what's my problem? Maybe if I align with this vibration, I could be relaxed too. Yeah, it's, you know, we are masters of distraction. We just keep our, is why I think one of the biggest diseases we have is busyness. It's how we help, you know, because if we're still, the uncomfortability of not being in alignment with our authentic self starts bubbling up.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, and that's uncomfortable as all hell. And what's the first thing we're taught as children? To stuff our emotions.
Yes.
You know, run away from them, stuff them, whatever, whatever you do, don't feel them.
And
you know,
productive, stay busy.
Right. So it's like, because that'll just, oh, geez, I don't have anything to do. I think like boredom, I think what we call boredom is actually the uncomfortability bubbling up when we're still.
Totally agree. It's to me, it's just another layer of anxiety.
Yeah. So it's
restlessness. You know,
instead of opening to what's causing that,
yes,
we go, I'm bored. I have to go do something and stay busy. So, so I don't actually feel what's going on inside of me. And this is, you know, again, another gift of COVID. It made people stop and be still more than they ever have. A lot of people lost their jobs and were stuck in their houses. And it's like, you know, just stop, you guys. It's like, like the earth was going like, just freaking calm down for a minute, you know, like,
relax.
You know, yeah, just be still for a moment.
yeah, learn how to just be grateful for your home, your family,
and the people who did that. The people, most of the, like my clients and most people I associate with, their life has gotten dramatically better since COVID started.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like I said in the beginning, it's either an opportunity or a problem. It just depends on what you do with that wave of energy when it's coming.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. It's a choice. It's like everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And you know that I forgot when you did that Black Lives Matter thing, but that was, I don't know. It was right around the time when I was deciding to come here because like I had seen one of your videos and I was like, wow, she really knows her stuff. And like, not to put down any other teachers, I just don't say that very often.
Yeah.
People don't capture my attention very often. I mean, I've been on this ride for 18 years. I've seen a lot of teachers. I've taken in a lot of information. And it was just something about the way you presented information and stuff that was different from mine. But I could feel the authenticity and the depth of what you were teaching. And I was like, wow, okay. And you captured my attention. And a little while later, I don't know if I had spoken with you yet or not, but then all of a sudden you did the Black Lives Matter thing. And I watched that too. And I was like, okay, so now this is courage. Like this is authenticity mixed with a blatant use of courage because of what you said. Like, you know, you're going out in the middle of Black Lives Matter and going, yeah, I don't think this argument matters.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, did she just say that the Black Lives Matter argument didn't matter? Like, and I was like, okay, all right. Like that's, you know, that I could see the courage because you are standing up and just being your authentic self and saying something that isn't popular right in the moment where everybody's emotions are heightened.
So that
showed me, you know, a lot of authenticity and courage. And I was like, you got to respect that. And I don't care if people agree with it or disagree with it.
Yeah,
you got to respect it.
Anytime when you can stand firm in your truth, no matter what's, especially when it is, like you said, emotionally just chaotic and bubbling, and you can stand calm and in your truth, that's when you know, like, you got it. Like, you're good. And
right.
that usually what happens with that, that is it's a domino effect for others who are in search of that in themselves. And that's what I really recognized when I said that and I got that outpour of people. Like, I'm like, wow. And that's, and then when I think about when I first started this journey, that's exactly how my teachers pulled me in when they were saying things that were completely and utterly opposite, but in a neutral way of what everybody else was doing. And they said it so boldly and so confidently. And I'm like, I can dig. I like that, you know? And it's like, I want that.
Right. You know? Yeah. That deep, authentic. And that's really the only place you can get that level of confidence is when you are in 100% alignment with who you are. Like, because, like, you know, what people usually perceive as confidence is actually the opposite. Yeah. And it's, you know, people overcompensating because they don't feel good about themselves. Those are the most boisterous ones that are acting super confident and stuff.
Right.
But that, those ones that just stand in it, man, and just, you know, it's like, yes, that calm confidence. And it doesn't matter if people are going. I remember when I was going to AA meetings when Mateo was little. One day we're driving somewhere past the meeting, AA meeting we used to go to. And he goes, oh yeah, I was driving by here with some of my friends, my friend's family. And I said, yeah, me and my dad go there on Friday nights. And they're like, oh, why do you go there? And he said, oh, because my dad's an alcoholic. And I was like, I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm not an active alcoholic, and there's a big difference there. And, you know, what I started doing was going to meetings, whether he was with me or whether he wasn't with me, and I would announce myself as recovered alcoholic, which people who read the big book and were taught the big book understand the program of recovery, really understand it in depthly. It says that that's what we are. We are recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. We are no longer in that. So like, but man, most of the people, I mean, people would be like, hey, are you gonna announce yourself as recovered again today? I can't wait to see what happens. You know, like people would go to meetings just to see me do that and see me field the backlash. But yes. I would stand in it. And I'm like, I want my son to know the difference. I am not in a hopeless state of mind and body, you know? So like I stood in that and it was a wonderful experiment for me to stand in my authenticity, and what I felt was right that went against the flow. And and the other thing from recovery that this just reminded me of is it's attraction rather than promotion. We don't, you know, the two sides are promoting.
Yeah.
Take my side. No, you should think like my side. That's right. Promotion. Neither side. Yeah. That's not what people are really looking for. What they're looking for is to be attracted to something.
Yes.
And what we're attracted to is truth, authenticity. Yes. And that, because that feels good and it touches our soul. Uh-huh. That's what people are yearning for. That's what we really want.
That's
you
what
know?
People yearn for. And I said this, one of my first teachers, I mean, again, just, you know, going through that space and coming into your own and, you know, listening to him. Like, I'm like, at this point, this brother could talk about chicken for an hour. And I'll be like, because, I mean, yeah. It didn't matter at that point what he was saying, because I know that it was authentic. I know it was coming from his soul. It was heartfelt. And I'm like, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. And that's what is attracted to others. You know, when we think about our favorite musicians, our favorite artists, there is a soul connection there. There's something, there's a resonance inside that you can connect to, that you can relate to. So it's the same thing when somebody's vibe is actually vibrating from that, like infinitely. You feel that resonance, you feel that authenticity.
Yeah, and you can be sitting there going, and you go, oh, I completely disagree with what they said, and I don't care. Like, they have the right to that opinion. It's not being, you can feel that it's not being pushed on you, and there's no pressure to agree with it. And you can sit there and you can go, wow, you know, 75% of what they said, I completely loved and was on point with. 25%, I didn't, and I don't care, and I don't even remember what that 25% was, because it's inconsequential. Who cares? Boy, I really love, and that's how we're naturally supposed to connect and get along with one another. We've just been away from that for so long that we forgot what it even looks like.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be, I would say, where most of us are, that come from the matrix, that come from that upbringing, like, it's like we have to remember that that is the natural way of doing things.
Yeah, and remembering, I always like using that word, because it I think it helps people understand that the work ahead of them isn't as arduous as they might think.
Right,
exactly. Because you don't have to relearn a whole new way of living. You just have to forget. You can't try and forget.
Yeah, you just have to.
You know, like, right. It's not like you can't. It's the opposite of efforting, you know?
Right.
You can't go in a corner and try real hard to forget, you know? Like, so there's no effort there. And same with remembering. You can't go try to remember real hard. Yeah. Because it constricts, it tightens, and the flow can't come through. So like it's the opposite of efforting. So it's much easier, this journey we're on is much easier than people realize.
Yeah,
you know, it's about letting go, allowing, forgetting, remembering, all non-effort inclined words.
Like, right. Like we always, I think you and I have talked about it. We have used a term like a rebirthing, you know, so starting from zero, you know, literally starting from my, I know for me, when I go through really intense initiations and I know that there's like that, okay, I'm about to go through this canal here. I go through the understanding that I know nothing and I am going to remember what I know.
That's it. And that was one of the best gifts I got when you know, my spiritual awakenings happened when I started getting sober. So the beginning of my journey is very intermingled with those two. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, I got the gift of understanding that I had completely destroyed every area of my life. So it was very easy for me to see, like, you know, when my sponsor asked me, you know, did you try to destroy your life? And I said, no. He goes, okay, so you tried to have a good life. I said, yeah. He goes, okay, so your best thinking got you this. Mm-hmm. Everything sucks.
And, right.
And your best thinking got you that. And it was very clear for me to see. So I became a blank slate at that point. I went, you know, I started living in bizarro world. Uncommon sense became common sense. I didn't trust anything that I thought when I first woke up. You know, I ran everything by other people. How am I supposed to look at this? How should I? And I got taught, you know, people showed me. And then when I tried doing it myself, if it had big consequences, I'd go back to them and be like, before I actually take this action, I'm looking at it this way. Am I looking at this clear? Oh yeah, right. You got it. I'd be like, okay, cool. Because I was learning, you know, I was remembering. It was easier than I thought. But mm-hmm. I wanted to double check it because I fully understood that I knew nothing.
Exactly.
I knew a bunch of shit, but I didn't know anything good.
Right. You know? It's the balance of like you know nothing, but you know everything at the same time, and it's like bringing that into balance.
Yeah,
because I got my spiritual name Maya. That's what it means. It means coming into the balance of knowingness, but not knowing at the same time, and staying in that humble vibration of always being open to learning and expansion, and then always going through these different cycles in this life, and you just keep on expanding, and. That's where the wisdom comes in, along with the knowledge and also the playful curiosity of just not fucking knowing, you know?
Right. So that's
the beautiful thing. And so your inner child feels alive and your now your adult life is much more fulfilling. And so now you could create from such a balanced level. It's like, yeah, I got some wisdom, but I also don't know everything either. And I'm cool with that. You know, I want to learn. I want to continue to learn and grow and play and stay curious about this life. So,
And that's where all creativity comes from, you know, so you can, you know, when there's not a structured way of how to act in a situation, if you're just comfortable in a space of not knowing.
Yes. Yes.
Then all of a sudden, you know, creative spontaneous acts can come through you and you can interact authentically in ways that you never would have before. And it's
right. And that's presence. That's real presence right there.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, man. We went over an hour already.
All right. We did it.
So was there anything else you wanted to say to wrap anything up?
No, I think I this was awesome. Thank you for having me on. This was beautiful.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. It turned into exactly what I was hoping it was going to be with us just going back and forth. I just love when, you know, we do this around here sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and I just enjoy it. We just go back and forth and just play a little tennis match with these spiritual ideas and get two different perspectives on it and end up at the same location, you know, which it is. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So I'm just going to say, just kind of pop through some comments, just Laura saying hi and Nancy. Nancy was nice enough to put a lot of like little comments throughout. And Ben was on the back end helping us. Thanks, Ben.
Hi, Ben. And thank you.
Chris. Yeah. Nancy was popping in with the, I love that. Amen. Haha. Right. You know, all that stuff. And Vanessa, I believe Vanessa's a friend. Oh, Vanessa. Yeah. Rick. Rick Jones. You know Rick?
Jones. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I know. Oh, and my friend Tammy from where I grew up is there. Yeah, Chris is a few. Chris just said this hour just flew by. Yes, it did. So, all right. Well, this was fun. And if this is the way having guests are, then I'm gonna keep having guests. So, yeah. So thank you for your time. I appreciate you. And I will probably see you. I'll see you in 15 minutes. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And I'm going to put my little ending on, and we will talk with you guys later.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.